The world constantly defines life as a pursuit of pleasure. Are we falling for it? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues most of us men think about, but we seldom talk about. Temperance, removing the junk from our lives, is our topic on Crossing the Goal. As we kick off our show on temperance, removing the junk from our lives, let's meet the Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck is Vice President of Renewal Ministries. He's an author and speaker who directs international mission teams in more than 25 countries. Peter's been married 22 years. He's the father of four. Curtis Martin is President and founder of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. The author of Boys to Men. He's been married 18 years. He has eight children. And Coach Danny Abramowitz, a former NFL wide receiver and NFL coach. Danny's a well-known speaker, author of Spiritual Workout, of a former saint. He's a husband of 42 years, the father of three, and grandfather of four. Gentlemen, let's kick off the show. Peter?
Well, you know, we've got competing definitions of manhood. The question is, what's a man? I think it's worth us asking the question, and we can touch on that throughout the program. But there's two competing views. There's a very aggressive one that's being pushed by our contemporary culture, the media, Hollywood, everything, that a man is somebody who's, you know, unattached, aggressive, sexually charged, pleasure-seeking, experience-oriented, experience for experience's sake, right? I mean, that's typical. You've seen that sort of thing. On the other hand, you have the image that Jesus gave us, you know? Jesus is the ultimate man, God's ultimate man, who hanging from the cross gives us the ultimate definition of manhood. And on the one hand, he's saying, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, and I promise you, you will have life. Mm. And he says, here's life. You know, every word that comes from the mouth of my Father, I'm guaranteeing you will lead you to life. The other definition is, don't deny yourself anything, and you're going to have all the life you're ever going to want to have. The question is, who's right?
Yeah, then we get duped. We get tricked into this whole thing of, boy, if I only could have this money in this position, if I had that, then I'll have ultimate true peace and happiness. Same with sex or something, you know, this is the joy, this is the peace, this is the ultimate, this is the man. When he has this, he's got it all. Man, Curtis has got it together. He's got the car, he's got everything. There's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong, but we put way too much importance in that and very little on what the Lord says about this.
The one thing that's wrong is that it's distracting. Yeah. Because the secret is, we were made for more. And we need to recognize that we're gonna talk about temperance, and the temperate man, the man who has self-control, actually gets it all. He's the winner. He's able to navigate this life and then gain eternal life. Whereas the man who lacks temperance loses both. He loses eternal life because he rebels against God. The lie, though, is that the things of this world don't give us the joy we hope they would. They always, always disappoint us unless they're used in the way God wants us to. And so the virtue is trying to learn how to enjoy the things of this world in the way that God wants us to, but never as a distraction, so that we can get to our ultimate goal, heaven.
And the Lord wants to give us a pleasure that will ultimately genuinely satisfy. We take the apple, we still think it looks good, which is temporary pleasure, and you know, deep down inside, we all know it, we'll share about it later, it always leaves you empty. You get momentary pleasure, but it never fills. So you got to have more, and you got to have more, and it just keeps taking you further and further down a road that never satisfies.
And everywhere you turn around, see, even TV, turn TV on, shoot for this, go for this.
Right.
The commercials, they act like they're, you know, talking about beer. They're not talking about beer. What are they talking about? They're talking about sex. It never stops, no matter where you turn, internet.
Yeah.
Wherever you turn, it's like crazy. It's all these things mixing us up.
And the problem with pursuing pleasure is it hollows you out. It's like drinking salt water, because let's say you have all the wealth you want. You go to the finest restaurants. I know somebody like this, goes to the finest restaurants, eats great meals all the time. He's only disappointed because he expects the best all the time, and therefore he's frequently let down. What we recognize is that for the Christian who leads the temperate life, who's fasting, food tastes better after you've been fasting.
And you know, a lot of times, don't you guys experience sometimes in your life just a void? When we go to something and say, this is the greatest, I'm going to this game, I went to the Super Bowl, or I went to the Wimbledon, or I went to the Masters, and Monday morning, okay, what's next now? What do we got? What's next?
That's really part of it, is what's next, you know? And then there's one of the things I feel like I notice, I don't know about you, because you see more and more, there's a whole way in which our economy, Madison Avenue, everything is more blatantly and aggressively pursuing men's money, getting into our pockets through excessive sex. You know what I mean? So Dallas, Texas, down here in Dallas, you know, part of the Bible Belt down there, they got 44 strip clubs in Dallas, Texas. 44 in one city, you know? For what? Because they know men can't resist, don't want to say no, because they're addicted to certain kinds of pleasure, yeah, and they can't stop saying yes to it.
I know you, Curtis and Peter, you guys have an idea. You have a game plan for us to work with on this temperate self-control issue. And you're going to talk about some mature subject matter that could be a little difficult for some. So we want to warn you about that, but we're going to hear their game plan right after we take a quick timeout.
Our topic today is temperance. This is a virtue that sometimes gets a bad rap.
It does.
It's typically something that says, well, God is up in heaven telling us no, no, no.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's much more than that. How would we define temperance?
You know, another way of looking at it that's inaccurate is this. It's kind of prudish, Victorian. You know, nope, God doesn't like pleasure. Nobody likes pleasure. God's all about rules and the rest of it. But the fact is, first of all, it's helpful to know that God is the God of pleasure.
He's all about pleasure. He made pleasure for us.
Yes, absolutely. And he wants us to give himself to us, which is the ultimate pleasure. But the scripture says, in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, if we see temperance in its proper context, as we look at the virtues as a whole, it builds on, like all the other virtues do, it builds on prudence. Prudence is that virtue that moves us to habitually, consistently look at reality and accept reality as it actually is.
Be able to take things seriously and right, then navigate the reality we find ourselves in to be able to say, this is real, life is real. We're wrestling for all of reality here. We've got a situation where we've got temporal needs and issues and desires, and we've got eternal issues and desires, and we need to be able to balance that in real time.
Absolutely. And what temperance ends up doing is it moderates our attraction to certain pleasures, food, sex, you know, even things like money, whatever, so we don't use things in excess in a way that it's going to end up undermining our becoming what we're meant to be. I mean, virtue is supposed to help us. It's there to help us become the utmost of what we could possibly be. And if we abuse the pleasure, it ends up destroying and it's harmful to us and doesn't allow us to reach our end.
Because we were made in original justice, and our mind would tell us what to do and then our emotions would respond. But because of the fall, our emotions tend to lead us. And so we find ourselves doing what we feel like rather than what we know we ought to do. So we lack wisdom and then we lose our self-control.
Yeah, and the emotions you're talking about, really, the Bible talks about the flesh. The flesh is that drive within us. Every one of us has it, this drive within us toward self-preservation, toward coveting, toward drawing all things to myself and thinking of myself and not seeing whatever I'm drawing to myself as it actually is. Let me give you an example. One of the areas that is abused today is the area of sexuality, obviously, in the whole area of pornography. It's a huge problem. It's an epidemic. It's all over the place, right? Prudence looks at that situation, a prudent man, and the virtue of prudence, as I start to approach the temptation to look at pornography or something on the internet or wherever I'm going to look at it, prudence tells me, wait a minute, you're about to approach this girl or this woman, whatever it is, as an object, and you can't do it. Why?
Because reality tells you she's not just an object.
Right, right. She's sacred. She's created by God. She's made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, she can never be a means simply to be used for my pleasure. She's always an end. So that's what prudence is trying to tell me. And then chastity, this drive in me, this habit in me says, no, I'm going to steer it in the right direction, steer that drive and that passion in the right direction so that I don't end up destroying myself in the process.
Because it's so important to know the truth. For example, we're talking about chastity, to know the truth about women in our lives, that they are daughters of God. There's somebody else, some other man's daughter, some other intended to be some other man's wife. That's the truth about them. But self-control goes beyond that. It says, now that I know the truth about you, I'm not going to be pulled off course by right, my passions. You know, you can imagine a car. You were going to go on a trip, and you hit MapQuest, and you've got your satellite device, and you're all ready to go. You're all tanked up, and you get out on the road, and the steering wheel falls off. All right, that's a guy without self-control. No matter how fast you go, it doesn't solve your problem.
Yeah, and what's clear in the scripture is that what we're being moved from, we're moved from the life in the flesh, that is, that drive toward fulfilling myself, seeing things as I want to see them, not the truth of what they are and responding to it, but imposing my will, my imagination, my truth on the object that I want to use for my pleasure. I want to read from Galatians here, Paul talking about, this is one of the, scripture talks about the vice lists, you know, that are in scripture. This is from Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 and following, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are plain, fornication, impurity, licentiousness, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing," gee, that I did some of that, "and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God."
And the fact of the matter is, it's not that they're not going to have the kingdom of God so much as a punishment. It's just you lose what you were made for, and therefore you can't become what you're intended to be, and so you lose the kingdom. And the neat thing about this is Paul continues right in that same passage to the very next verses and says, yes, there are fruits of the flesh, but there are also fruits of the Spirit. And he leads to us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control."
Yeah.
And this is the power that God does not want you to tough it out, to have self-control like some macho man, but rather fidelity, but with His assistance, that inside of you He's working to bring about His will in your life.
Exactly. We don't produce, you know, the self-control. It's a gift ultimately from the Lord. We cooperate with Him and He produces it for His glory.
That's great insight about temperance. Brian?
We're going to tackle some tough topics next, down in the pit, in the red zone, on Crossing the Goal. Talking about temperance, self-control here on Crossing the Goal. Things can get down and dirty here in the red zone. We promise to keep it clean, but we have some serious, difficult topics to tackle. Coach?
Yeah, guys, you know, temperance deals with a lot of things. We talk about money, we talk about food, gluttony, we talk about alcohol and drugs. But I think the one that seems to be really standing out with men is a sex issue. And in particular, maybe we want to talk about internet pornography. I saw some statistics, I don't know if you and I were talking about it before the show, that they say $20 billion annually on internet pornography.
Danny, that's more money that is spent in major league sports, football, basketball, and baseball. We're talking about an enormous addiction nationwide, globally, that's affecting men. This is a roadblock we've seen in our work on college campus, that this problem of internet pornography, all types of pornography, and then the unchastity that follows is the number one obstacle to a man who has come to want to follow Jesus and what keeps him to growing into maturity in Christ. This is a big issue.
Yeah, and again, and this is an area where this is one of the great pleasures that God has given us, you know, in the right place, in the right time. It's one of the great pleasures. It's God's idea, right? But we are stepping outside because of the flesh in us. We're weak enough to bite the apple, to believe the lie that somehow this is going to be good for me, it's harmless, I can manage it, I need it, I can't live without it, that somehow sin somehow is going to do me good.
And you know, it's amazing, Peter, some guys just accidentally fall into it. It's not like, I plan on doing this. They start innocently and the next thing it's on their computer.
Yeah. Well, the sad thing is, Danny, they're starting it at very young ages, 12, 13, 14
years old.
They're on the computer, and these guys who are doing this as a profession are predatory. These are evil, wicked people who are preying upon our children.
And then they do it, and then you find yourself back again and then again and again. And on the other part, you go to a hotel room or something. You know, I see guys a lot of times, and maybe myself, you know, you're clicking with a clicker, and all of a sudden you go to a certain thing dealing with sex. You notice how slow we go through that when we go click, click, click.
It's hard to turn away.
Yeah.
Click, click, click.
And it's not because you're prudish or that you're uptight or that you don't understand sex or something like that. Or like the church, people say, you know, the church is obsessed with sex or something. It's the opposite. Society's obsessed with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely out of control. It's so irrational. And the church is one of the sane voices in the whole world that understands sex properly. And one of the reasons people can't stand the church is the church keeps standing there saying, hey, hello, hello, you know what? The reason you're hurting is you keep abusing this wonderful gift. Here, I want to teach you something about it. You know,
and then you get into it, but next thing, it's almost obsession.
Yeah, you told us a story, Peter,
yeah,
about
the
guy that
There's a guy I know who, you know, got into it. He was married, had a family, executive, gifted guy, and he was looking at pornography, and it started really capturing him. And he felt terrible because he was a good guy, you know, and he's trying to follow the Lord. And to numb his pain, he didn't tell anybody because he was so ashamed, which is the typical path that we are with a lot of our sins. But this one in particular, you know, tends to be dominated by shame. You control people. Then he started drinking just to kind of numb some of the pain within him. And the spiral kept going down. Then he started seeing prostitutes. Then he got himself into an affair. And the poor guy hated himself. And this is something I've heard, you know, testimonies of guys around the country doing men's conferences, guys saying, you know, I got so trapped in this stuff. I hated myself because I couldn't pull myself away. I'd be on it for hours and time would go by like this and I'd wake up, who am I? And they're so divided. But this guy, poor guy, got to the point where he was so filled with pain, he took like a fifth of vodka and he drank it all in one hour and he almost killed himself. But you know what? God rescued the guy and he did the one thing that's so important for all of us to see. It's an absolute law of the kingdom of God and of reality. The humble will be exalted, the proud will be humbled. And he was humble enough, even though it got to the very rock bottom, to say, this is me, man, and I want out. And he talked to other guys about it, were able to pray with him. And to this day, this guy is alive in the faith. He's on fire. He's accountable. He's under spiritual direction.
Praise God.
And he's free of the stuff.
And you know, go ahead.
You make an important point that we have to recognize that sin's a lot like a cockroach. It hates the light. And so when we turn to the light of Christ and say, Lord, I need your help.
Yeah.
But also turn to our brothers. We're so ashamed and have self-loathing because of our sin that we pull back from God and from one another when the very thing that'll bring us restoration is the healing that Christ alone can bring and the strength that our brothers can give to us.
And confession, the sacraments, really, that's where I got my strength to turn the tide on this.
Yeah, it's a crucial. Let's list some of the things. You know, first, the first thing every guy needs to do, I think, that, you know, this is every man's battle. Books have been written about and talked about it. The first thing you say, ask yourself, do I really want to go God's way? Do I really want what God wants? Because one of the biggest problems we have is, you know what? I got a deep affection for this. I don't want to think about life without this escape and pleasure that I have, this drug that I'm now living with.
And not only to the Lord, admit to the Lord, Lord, I have a problem, help me. You know, go out there and say, I have a problem.
Lord, I love this and I know you don't, I mean, I like this stuff. I know you don't want me to like it. I need your help. This is how desperately screwed up I am.
Exactly.
Yeah. Give me a love for you that's greater than my love for this thing. And the older you get, you hold on to this stuff. So the things I'm dealing with now, I've been carrying around for 20, 25 years. The stuff I wanted to get rid of 25 years ago, with God's grace, it's gone.
Yeah.
The stuff I have right now, I've got this really weird, perverse attachment to. And to look at it and say, Lord, there's still a lot more work to be done in my life. So that personal conversion is a first step. I think another great step is we've got to get to God's word. The Psalms tell us, how does a young man keep his way pure? By guiding it according to your word, O Lord. We need to take all the garbage that the world's put in our hearts and our minds and root it out by placing God's word in its place.
Yeah.
Not only that is the big thing of accountability.
Yeah.
The accountability groups with other fellow brothers that are working through similar things. When you share with the guys and then, you know, you come back the next week, if you're in a weekly meeting with guys, you have to sort of look at the guys and say, guess what, guys,
I slipped. Another one is really yielding your life to the Holy Spirit, you know, to coming into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Scripture will teach you about it. The church will teach you about it. You can step into it. Paul says at one point, he says, if you put to death the deeds of the body, you know, by the Spirit, you will live. if you sow to the flesh and the deeds of the body, you're going to die. I mean, what we read up there in Galatians, you know, sin is deadly. What this is all about is the devil is after us. He wants to kill us. That's not an exaggeration or some religious fanatic talking.
Ephesians 6:10-12 right there.
Yeah,
our battle is not against human forces, against powers and principles. This is bigger than us. So if it's bigger than us, we better bring the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's the God that's going to help us through this.
And our actions have consequences.
Oh, yeah.
Paul continues and says, God will not be mocked. What you sow, you will reap. And so we have to recognize that the decisions we're making is not only having an effect on our relationship with Christ, we're not the man we need to be before Him, but it's affecting our marriages, our status as men who are fathers to our children and brothers to our friends.
You know, if we're involved in it ourselves, you know, we have as fathers, we have a spiritual covering over our family. And if we're making room for this in our lives and we're freely engaging in it on a regular basis, you know, we give access to our family. We give the devil permission to hassle our family and tempt our family more because we've stepped outside of our role to protect. Now, I'm not saying that so that everybody feels guilty and shameful. The Lord will cover for us, but we got to get real. The question is, do you want out or don't you?
And we got going to give you guys that last word to get to the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal. And now for the last word from the end zone on self-control, removing the junk from our lives. We go first to Peter.
Thanks, Brian. You know, the challenge I want to leave today is let's call sin by its name. No more playing games. Let's no justifications, no rationalization, no excuses, no blaming. Let's be honest about what sin is and ask the Lord, say, Lord, teach me the reality of what sin is. What does it mean, Lord? And help me, Lord God, see it as you see it, that I might be free of it. He wants to help each and every one of us live in freedom.
Temperance is tough. Self-control, that's the virtue we're talking about today. And I know because I struggle with this. This is a real challenge for me personally. The particular sins may have changed in the last 25 years, but I still do things I don't want to do, and I fail to do the things I desire to do. I've tried to do this on my own effort, and I fail over and over and over again. But what I've learned I want to share with you is that with Christ's help, we can overcome. We can make progress in this one step at a time. You can overcome the challenge that's before you right now. Imagine a world filled with men who are committed to rooting out the evil in their lives with Christ's help. That's a world the devil would be frightened of.
Curtis, thank you. Man, let me give you our coaching point for until the next show. Let's put away our ego, our pride, our arrogance, and let's humble ourselves before our Lord and Maker and ask Him to give us the strength and the courage to admit our faults.
Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, thanks for being with us on Crossing the Goal, and we hope to see you next time on Crossing the Goal. Until then, dare to be great, men. Remember, we're made for it.